So in a little while, when we kind of get to the annual meeting portion of today, we're going to be talking about 2022, in which, if I could sum up 2022, it would be the word launched. But as the leadership of the church and myself and the staff were praying and discerning at the end of last year where God is wanting to lead us for 2023, and how we are preparing for this year and the vision that we have going in to this year, if I could sum it up, it would be gathered. We were making plans and we were doing all of this, but a question just kept bugging me in the back of my mind: why do we gather? Why do we gather? And of course, Scripture talks about gathering. Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says, "Let us think about ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect meeting or gathering together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of his return is drawing near." And don't get too hung up on that, because that was 2,000 years ago. So near is quite relative to Jesus. But let us think about ways to motivate and not to love and good works and not neglect gathering together. And Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that God gives, and sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." You can't sing together unless you gather together. And if we wanted to even get more philosophical, Paul does that for us in Ephesians 2:19 through 22. And he says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family, and together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself, and we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And through him, you Gentiles are also being made a part of his dwelling, where God lives by his Spirit." We gather because we are being built into a dwelling place of God here on earth. I mean, that's who the church is: being pieced together and gathered together. And earlier in that, or later in that letter to the Ephesians, Paul says there's neither Greek nor Jew, neither slave nor free, male or female, but all are part of the body of Christ. So obviously these are legitimate reasons for us to gather. 100% true. I'm not going to deny that. It's what Scripture says. But for some reason, these still didn't quite satisfy the question that was burning in my heart, and I didn't really know why until it kind of just seemed like these are kind of explaining why we should gather, or what we do when we gather, and an admonishment to continue to gather. But why do we gather? Why do we gather? What is the base human motivation to gather? What is the vision that we have ingrained in our souls that we need to gather? I mean, we're not just talking about church. I mean, humanity loves to gather together. Like, look at all of the different gatherings that happen outside of the church: sporting events, malls, bars, social action. Why do we gather? Like, what is the thing that we are all striving for? And here's what I've become convinced of: we gather in various ways because we want to experience heaven. We want to experience heaven. And every one of us, being image bearers of God, have ingrained in us the desire to know and experience the dwelling place of God. I mean, this is why Jesus gave us this vision toward the beginning of how he says we should pray. It's Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is the King James Version because it's just the poetic version that pops into my head. But your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This isn't just what we should pray. This is how we should pray, Jesus said. So right at the very beginning of how we should pray, we should be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, bring heaven to earth. May your will be done here on earth. Have earth be like heaven. And that's honestly simply why we felt led to have as the vision of our church in our neighborhoods as it is in heaven. It's the vision that Jesus gives us. It's this already but not yet. It can be accomplished in part, but it will never be done. We can continue to always pray and seek in our neighborhoods as it is in heaven. Because honestly, if we attain this vision, then the kingdom of God, at least in our little part of the world, God's will is being done in our neighborhoods as it is in heaven. A base motivation of being image bearers of God will be fulfilled to experience and be in heaven. But the thing is that heaven isn't of our own making. It isn't heaven according to us. There are descriptions of what heaven is like. In the last book of our Bibles, the Apostle John, or John the Revelator, in Revelation, gives us this picture of what heaven is like. Revelation 7, 9 through 10 says this. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Every nation and tribe and people and language. Evidently, heaven is a diverse place. Even in heaven, people aren't going to look the same or even have the same language. We might understand those languages, but evidently that still in heaven, we have all the nations and tribes and people and language. Heaven is a place of diversity, but they have a commonality, and that commonality is gathering together and worshiping God. Revelation 7, 11 through 12, just the next passages, says this, "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces on the ground, and they worshiped God. They sang, Amen," which just means truth. "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." So heaven evidently is a place of worship. It's a place of a living sacrifice, putting ourselves before God and saying, "You alone are forever and ever. Amen." Heaven is a place of worship. And then just a couple of verses later, we have Revelation 7, 15 through 17. It says, "That is why they stand in front of God's throne." These are the people that were said to go through the tribulation. "That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty, and they will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb is on the throne and will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eye." So evidently, heaven is a place of safety and shelter, a place where hunger and thirst are no more, where no one is left to the harshness of the elements, and they will be shepherded and guided and cared for, and they'll be brought to life-giving water, and every tear will be wiped from their eyes. Comfort will be given. Mourning will be no more. Evidently, that's what heaven looks like. In Revelation 11:19, it gets a little bit more symbolic. It says, "And then in heaven the temple of God was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen inside the temple, and lightning flashed and thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm." Evidently, in heaven, we get to witness even visibly and audibly the power of God. That heaven is full of understanding and knowing and being able to see the power of God happen. And at the very, very end of the book in Revelation 22, 1 through 2, it says, "Then the angel showed me a river with water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it flowed down the center of the main street. And each side of the river grew a tree of life, bringing 12 crops of fruit with a crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations." Evidently, in heaven, there it's a place of life and sustenance and healing. And then just a couple verses later, in verses 4 through 5, and it says, "And now they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there. There will be no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever." Evidently, heaven is where light reigns and darkness does not exist. I mean, can you imagine being in a room and it being light, period, and it not coming from a lamp or the sun or an overhead light, your ceiling fan? It's just light. There's no shadows in the corner. There's no darkness behind the couch. It is literally just light. You see, as humans, we search for this in every place that we can get. And we only get bits and pieces of it. Have you ever been to a college football game and they're singing their alma mater? I mean, it's almost like a worshipful experience. Like, there's people who are, like, crying because they have, like, so much pride, and they're just a part of something, and you're in a stadium filled with tens of thousands of people that are singing this, and it's quite moving. And why are we so drawn to that? Well, because we can acknowledge, like, there's like little elements of what heaven is going to be like there. People joining their voices together and having an experience. Now, is it around God? No, but we get to recognize why it's so moving. I mean, think about why people are drawn to bars or social clubs. I mean, it is a place where typically there's a whole bunch of diversity and conversation, and you're kind of just on an equal level with people, and you just kind of feel welcomed, and you get life from there. Why do people like that? Because they're trying to experience heaven. I mean, if you've been to a concert and people are singing out, and I mean, people, if it's not a worship concert, it could be literally any concert. Look around. People are going to have their hands raised and their eyes closed, and they're going to be swaying back and forth. They're going to be really into it, and it's going to be this collection of people who are lifting their voices together. And why does it feel so powerful? Because people are looking for heaven. I mean, you have the intense emotion and gatherings of even like civil action gatherings or protests. And why do people do that? Why do they gather together for a cause? Because they either, like, they want to see the earth look a little bit more like justice. Now, depending on how they do it, could kind of defeat the purpose. But that's not what we're talking about. Why do people gather together? Why? Why? Why, when you go to musicals or plays, you can quite literally be moved by the power of the art and the story and the impact? Well, it's because people are looking for a slice of heaven. But the reality is that why people continue to go back time and time and time again is that they will all fall short. Because we might be able to experience elements of what heaven is going to be like, but it's in the faithful gathering of people seeking God, allowing Him to dwell among them, that heaven can truly break through to earth. That it's the combination of a people gathering, it doesn't matter their nation or their tongue or their tribe, they gather together and their commonality is the person of Jesus and following Jesus and how Jesus is shaping and transforming their lives, and the power of God can show up and the light of God can show up and there can be sustenance and real tangible needs can be met of no longer being thirsty or hungry or not and or being sheltered. It's all possible because there's this combination of when God dwells among His people, when they gather, Jesus says it, heaven can break through. Heaven is present. We are created in the image of God. It is ingrained in us, in every human, to experience heaven. And when we do experience, if we really allow ourselves to experience it and not put any inhibitions of fear or lack of courage or lack of bravery, we cannot help but wanting to invite others to do the same. On earth as it is in heaven. That is why we gather. So since last October, the church leadership, that's the church board and myself and our staff, has been discussing and leaning in together of how we might gather as a church to help accomplish our vision of in our neighborhoods as it is in heaven. Because it's not just about gathering on Sundays, which we're going to continue to gather on Sundays and continue to lean in on Sundays. But gathering can take many different forms and shapes. They can be large, they can be small, they can be organic, they can be structured and organized. Heaven really isn't confined to the particular ways through which it can break through. So, of course, we're going to continue to gather on Sunday mornings, and we're leaning in, and we're going to continue to do our teaching series. I mean, we just got done with talking 2 weeks on forgiveness, and then we're about ready to go into a series called Devoted for the next 4 weeks of, okay, so if we begin with forgiveness, if we begin with like opening ourselves up to forgive others, to receive the forgiveness of God, and we have this freedom and this new way of being, now what? Well, it's a life of devotion. That's now what? In the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so what if we did the same? And as the leadership and I talked, we felt that prayer needed to be a little bit more of a centerpiece of what we're doing. And so we've made the decision to kind of shift up even our Sunday morning Bible study a little bit and to turn it into a prayer gathering. And so starting next week at 9:30, we'll have Sunday prayer. And because I know that people are nervous about praying, I mean, can you really pray for an hour? Like, is that possible? We're going to, for the first like 30 minutes, we're going to be praying through scripture to give us something to pray about. And then the last 30 minutes, we're going to be praying through our families and our friends and our coworkers and our community and our church ministries, and have a time of guided intercessory prayer. And to kick that off next week, we are going to introduce what's called Pray 21, which will be a 21 days of prayer. And so starting next Sunday, we're going to have a 21-day prayer guide on how together as a church we can be praying collectively. Because honestly, if we're not praying and communing with God together, I don't know how much we can expect will happen. So next week, we're going to be kicking off Pray 21, which will be 21 days of intentional prayer. And you can just leave that slide up for right now. And then we also discuss we really want a place of community. We really want to build places of community. And so we're committing to, it might take 1 or 2 months to kind of iron out all of the details. We've been planning on them, but schedule is not always friendly. Our goal is that we're going to have every month a family gathering, which will be for families with kids. We're going to have our teen event. We've already been having our monthly teen event and teen gathering, and then also a monthly senior gathering. Those will just be one monthly event for all of the different age groups of family, teen, and seniors. Why? Because we want to make sure that we are gathering together regularly. And sometimes it's a lot easier to gather together and build connection in times of just intentional community building. So whether or not it's a pizza night and movie night in here on the sanctuary for families, or it's our, you know, typical like monthly senior luncheon, or if it's going to Winter Jam or a movie together as teens, we think those are incredibly important. And if I'm going to be, you know, perfectly honest, as a community, this is how we get people involved in our community. We always want to have the next thing for people to be able to be invited to. I mean, when 90% of people typically show up to church because they're looking for community. So how can we offer that? And in my opinion, Sundays don't cut it for the life of a believer in being in community. So we're going to be starting, we've already kind of been doing some of them, but we're going to have these monthly planned out. We're always going to know what the next one is, gathering for all of our age groups. And then starting next week, we are launching a new weekly gathering called Common Room. So Common Room is a gathering that is targeted and for college age through millennials. And if you don't know if you're a millennial, if you were born in 1977 or sooner, then technically you're a millennial. We had conversations among our staff and our board about, you know, there was a gap in our gatherings for those who are wrestling with different kinds of questions about their faith. So we wanted to provide an opportunity. And so this gathering, myself and Macy are going to be hosting it in our home. And so there's also going to be stuff for kids. We have a basement with a playroom, so it'll be like, you know, a separated thing. So we wanted to make sure as open and inviting as possible. And what we're going to be doing in this gathering is really just wrestling with the questions of faith. It might spring off of what we're talking about on Sunday morning. It's not going to be hyper directly connected to it, but like, honestly, we can wrestle with the question. We just talked about forgiveness, for example. We'll be like, what does it mean for us to forgive in our lives? Let's just wrestle with that question, how it's difficult. And so we're working to create this space for college age through millennials to be able to wrestle with questions about their faith. And if I can be perfectly, perfectly honest, you've probably heard this word before called deconstruction. It's a really real thing, and people are just wrestling with their faith. And honestly, we need to provide a space for also to healthily go through deconstruction, but then also reconstruction. Like, once we realize, like, okay, this is what I believe, but I don't really know how it fits in. I don't know how it affects my life. I don't know how, you know, this life with Jesus really changes, you know, how I live. Well, we need to construct what those rhythms and those practices and that community looks like. So Common Room, and if you're like, man, that sounds good, but a college age through a millennial, we were starting this way, but the goal is that if we have enough people that they're like, I'm outside of that age group, but I would like to be in an environment like that, then we would love to have a conversation about what it would mean to like start up another common room gathering. That we can have multiples of these, but this is how we're launching. And then the next weekly gathering that we will be launching, I'm excited about all of this. I'm really excited about this, and that's called Common Table. Some of you actually might have received a kind of a teaser as you came in. Common Table will be launching on February 15th. That's a Wednesday night at 6:30. And think combining kind of like small discipleship groups-ish and dinner and putting them together. So every week we're going to be providing a meal on Wednesday nights. And it's going to be here in the sanctuary. We'll tear down the sanctuary. We'll set up tables and chairs. We're going to provide a meal. And then we're going to have a video that we're going to watch and then have discussion. Because once again, I mean, maybe people can't make it on Sunday mornings. Maybe they want to go a little bit deeper. Maybe something a little bit different than Sunday mornings might, you know, invite them into community, and so we wanted to provide that. But also, as we're seeking to try to have people experience heaven, part of experiencing heaven is no hunger or thirst. So it's a really, really tangible way that we can come together, have a meal. And if you look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus did all kinds of ministry across the table. Eating together, ministering to people, just building relationships with them. And the way in which we're going to launch this is that we're going to launch it with a series called Alpha. And Alpha is an incredible series that I've led before, and it is it really gets at the basic questions of, like, why faith? Like, why Jesus? Why the church? What is the Holy Spirit? Like, who is God the Father? What does it mean to be guided by Scripture? What is Scripture? What is prayer? And it just really asks these really simple questions. And if you're sitting here thinking, like, well, I've, you know, been a follower of Jesus for a while, I don't really need that, I would beg to differ. It's always good for us to kind of get back to the basics. So I want to invite you and invite your family and your friends and your coworkers to join us at Common Table starting on February 15th. Now, Alpha is going to run for about 12 weeks. Now, if you don't feel like you can come to all 12 weeks in a row, that's not the end of the world. It's just kind of a new topic every week. But here's what I really do want to encourage. This is a place where there's no dumb question. Like, there's no wrong question to ask. And so any question is allowed. Even if somebody's like, I'm going to come, I don't think there is a God, but like, sure, I guess like, if there is a God, I would ask this question. I'll go and I'll talk with people. I want to get to know people. So that, so it's built for that, but it's also just built to build our community. So with that, we would love to not have to really like buy a meal every week. And so we are putting together really, really simple meal options. And we are looking for 4 to 5 people every week to make a part of the meal and bring it in. I mean, and when I say simple, I mean like a big thing of spaghetti and spaghetti sauce and some salad from a bag and some garlic bread. It could be literally as simple as that. It doesn't need to be extravagant. So if you would be willing or interested to sign up for once a month or just to make food and, you know, bring it in, it's going to start at 6:30. And there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, which is right over here. But you'll also be hearing from us because we're going to do some recruiting on it. But Anyway, it's really, really simple. Our goal is that, like, if you could just wrap it into your grocery budget, the goal is, like, maybe $10 or $15 the one time that you do it of, like, supplies, because several people are coming together to make the meal. So that is Common Table. And so those are, and that will be a weekly gathering that will start. And so it'll be every Wednesday night at 6:30. You might be wondering, okay, Alpha's 12 weeks long. What are we going to be doing after that? By that point in time, we're putting some processes into place that I'll be recording an 8 to 12 minute kind of summary, condensed message of my Sunday morning message, and we'll show that on Wednesday night and then have discussion around that topic when we're done with Alpha. So that is, so as the team and I gathered and we prayed and we tried to discern where are we going as a church, this is where we felt the Lord was leading us, that we needed places and gatherings to build community with each other and then also with our community at large. And so this is how, this is our vision for 2023. We are incredibly, incredibly excited. I think the potential and the significance of, you know, Wednesday night and a Sunday night gathering, it feels a little old school, actually. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But also, this is why gathering is so important. That we want people to have a place. We want you to have a place that you can connect and be in community, and that you can invite others into it as well. And so as we kind of, we're going to move into the next portion of the morning of more of our annual meeting time. The worship team is going to come back up and we're going to sing together. And then we're going to kind of take like a 2 to 3 minute little break, and move into our annual meeting portion of the morning. If you're a member of the church, I really would like for you to stay. That's part of the benefits of being a member, is that you get to vote and everything. If you're not a member of the church, you are more than welcome to stay. In fact, I would encourage you to, because we're going to be reviewing and celebrating and just honestly having a bit of a more laid-back conversation about 2022 and where we're at as a church, and we're open and transparent about that. So you don't have to be a member to stick around. You can hear. And in fact, I would encourage you to if you have the time. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful that we have this vision that you have given us of what heaven looks like. That we don't have to rely on our own imagination, that we don't have to rely on our own devices to figure out what does it mean when we will dwell with you forever, because you lay it out for us. So God, as we lean into 2023, as we look forward to these gatherings together to seek you, to eat together, to have conversation, to share life, to wrestle with our faith and what does it mean to follow you, to build friendship and community, God, that you would be amongst it. God, we want to ask that you would bless these gatherings, that you would give these gatherings favor, and that, God, through them, we would experience your dwelling place, that we would experience heaven. Even if it's just for a moment, even if it's just for a period of a few minutes, God, that we would experience it. And we would know that there is something more than just stumbling our way through life. That there's a possibility of healing and wholeness and sustenance and growth and friendship and family and fulfilling our hunger and our thirst and comforting us when we mourn. God, that heaven is possible now. It's not something that we need to wait for. So God, be with us, encourage us, fill us with your Holy Spirit to be on fire for what does it mean to follow you and lean into a life with you in your name. Amen.